Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League.
America, land of almost 2 million prisoners and the home of cowardly censorship.
The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than to college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown.
Prison administrators across America commonly prevent prisoners from receiving MIM notes or other correspondence from the Maoist internationalist movement, such as books from the Serve the People, Free Books for Prisoners program. Over the last year, MIM and prisoner allies have intensified our efforts to end the censorship of MIM notes and to increase prisoners' ability to read what they want and speak their minds. Some people who hear about this censorship do not care because they do not agree with the politics in MIM notes. This is a dangerous position that exposes the myth of free speech in America, but even these people should be aware that dictionaries, Spanish textbooks, and books on political science, history, and even English literature are returned without reason or just thrown out by prison authorities. Recently, letters to MIM-led mass organizations like United Struggle From Within and the Prisoners' Legal Clinic were censored. The letters discussed topics such as setting up study groups, legal cases, and prisoner health issues. Many mailroom pigs have determined that letters, information on legal work, and mass organizations are workings of the so-called security threat groups or gangs. Anything security threat group related, written by gangs, or bearing alleged gang symbols can be censored. Many prison pigs consider the Puerto Rican flag to be a gang symbol, for example. This temporarily justifies censorship of MIM notes issues with that flag. Prison officials in Michigan considered something in MIM Notes 189 to be a gang symbol. The choices, as far as we can tell, photographs from protests against American bombings, the revolutionary feminism symbol from the masthead, the hammer and sickle from the masthead, or art detailing a prisoner in chains. Another common reason to censor MIM Notes is because the last page is in Spanish. As we reported in an earlier MIM Legal Notes article, prison officials are not allowed to deny material on the basis that it is not in English. Instead, the material is to be reviewed by a guard who can read that language. Hundreds of newspapers and books sent by MIM have been censored on the basis that no one is available to read the Spanish to determine its content. Once would be annoying. Hundreds of times shows that this is a case of the pigs being pigs. The number one justification given to censor newspapers, dictionaries, and the like is because they are alleged threats to the facility. The letters, books, and newspapers MIM sends to prisoners are not related to criminal activity. They do not violate or advocate the violation of prison policies, state, or federal laws. When challenged, no prison official has been able to argue why and how MIM notes, or for that matter, the dictionaries we send, cause a threat to their facilities. In fact, prisoners articulate to MIM that learning political philosophy and organization has helped them to stop antagonisms between prisoners and organize against oppression instead. Because these excuses for censoring MIM notes and other materials, such as letters and dictionaries, are so paper thin, it is clear that this is political censorship. MIM notes exposes both the particular crimes of prison guards and administrators and the general way in which American prisons are a tool of oppression. MIM notes carries out revolutionary agitation against the imperialist system of which American prisons are a part. We must be doing something right, because the prisoncrats have responded by trying to shut us up. To combat this censorship, prisoners file grievance after grievance, despite the threat of retaliation. Prisoners who exhaust the grievance process then litigate to stop censorship in their states. Some have already been successful, while others are still developing their cases. The Serve the People Prisoners Legal Clinic has increased work against censorship as well as its own publication rate of MIM legal notes. Imprisonment in America is meant to strip people of their rights, yet prisons have to deal with the contradiction that courts have allowed prisoners to retain some of their so-called rights. MIM seeks to utilize such contradictions under imperialism. While such legal battles will not end the oppressive nature of American prisons, fighting for winnable reforms that lessen repression enables us to organize more effectively against imperialism. MIM and RAIL have increased efforts to build public opposition to censorship in the context of anti-imperialism by pounding the pavement, holding revolutionary education events, and giving benefit concerts. In several states, MIM is working with lawyers and liberal prisoner supporters to plan courses of action in the courts and to learn tactics to decrease censorship. MIM's goal is to end oppression, To speed this along, we need the newspaper and information to reach its destination. Prisons are not the only culprits censoring MemNotes. MemWork is censored in urban areas and on college campuses daily. Mem focuses against prison censorship at this time to win gains for one of the most oppressed and revolutionary groups in America, prisoners. Mem's literature program is in the tradition of the Serve the People work of the Chinese Communist Party and the Black Panther Party. Mem's Serve the People programs and independent institutions of the oppressed meet the needs of the people while building more opposition to imperialism. Mem sends books to prisoners to counter the absolute void of education in prisons, to help prisoners learn the necessary theoretical and historical information to launch successful blows against oppression. Despite censorship, this work continues, and we urge increased involvement from the masses on the outside. Mem welcomes libertarians, liberals, anarchists, human rights activists, and all those willing to fight for freedom of speech to work with Mem on this campaign against censorship. The ramifications go far beyond the work of Mem. Readers with legal experience should consider spending some time with this organization. You can work on key cases to assist prisoners in gaining access to the press, medical care, exercise time, educational books and classes and other things they are denied, like pens, writing paper, uncontaminated food, blankets, and toilet paper. For those with money, we need financial support. Mem is willing to train those committed to help, but without the relevant skills.
Mumia Abu-Jamal is a former Black Panther on death row. He was framed for the righteous killing of a police officer engaged in an act of police brutality. He was sentenced to death in 1982 after a bogus trial. His appeals are now in the much quicker federal courts, and an execution could happen in the fall. Prior to his arrest, Mumia was a radio journalist who exposed police brutality. From within the walls, through his books, articles, and radio commentaries, Mumia continues to be an outspoken leader of the oppressed. The following article on censorship was written in April.
Outlawing Prison Legal Books by Mumia Abu-Jamal. There is a mystery in the shadowy world of the censorship boards of prisons across the United States. No matter what various courts have decided, these state agencies, usually staffed by people who haven't the faintest idea of what constitutes a constitution, routinely censor books, articles, and reading material for the imprisoned on the slightest pretext. Recently, the well-respected Prison Legal News published a compilation of their columns, articles, and writings from jailhouse lawyers, columnists, and judges in the book, The Selling of America, An Inside Look at the U.S. Prison Industry, by PLN contributor Daniel Burton Rose and editors Dan Penns and Paul Wright, Common Courage Press, 1998. By their very nature, many of the contributions are admittedly critical of the prison industrial complex, as they should be. In Michigan's Huron Valley Men's Facility, the prison censors withheld the book, The Selling of America, calling it a publication that advocates violence, riots. Prison Legal News subscriber Larry Lynch's order of the book was therefore denied. Lynch appealed the censorship throughout all levels of the Michigan Department of Corrections, but administrators upheld the censorship. Prison Legal News and Common Courage Press have filed a class action lawsuit against the censorship, saying the First Amendment right to free speech was violated by the ban. I invite any of our readers to read for themselves the book that Michigan banned. It will be utterly impossible for any readers to find, in the text of the book, anything that actually advocates violence. Riots. Most writers are knowledgeable of the plain political fact that riots are counterproductive and serve the long-term interest of the prison administrators, rarely the prisoners. Here the writer must offer a confession. He is a contributor to the Selling of America compilation. Some of the contributors are judges and other professionals. Are they advocating riots? One entry, the one by the judge, details the lies utilized by the media and attorneys general to portray the vast majority of prisoners' civil suits as frivolous. This judge, from the Second U.S. Court of Appeals, demonstrates by citing specific cases that the cases were misrepresented and were, in fact, based on solid claims for relief. Would this kind of article advocate riots? Some of the writers write about bogus, fraudulent usages of the misconduct system, where they are punished for daring to exercise their alleged right of free expression, supposedly protected by the First Amendment. Is such an article advocating violence? Let's let you decide, the reader. Any reading of The Selling of America will prove how ludicrous such a claim can be. Write to the Prison Legal News, Book Department H, 2400 Northwest 80th Street, number 148, Seattle, Washington, 98117, 1995 per copy, 320 shipping. One may learn that it is prison that advocates violence, for it is an institution that inculcates and teaches violence. It separates, it splits, it enrages, and it embitters. It engenders violence of the psyche, which is ignorance, and that is the real objective of any state censorship, ignorance, to keep people in prison deaf, dumb, and blind to the forces that shape and create prisons. Written by Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Commentaries like this one, plus his reporting about police brutality in Philadelphia long before his arrest, have earned Mumia the support of many and also the hatred of this system. Respect for Mumia's work even extended to the likes of National Public Radio. NPR briefly hired Mumia to record 10 commentaries, but the police lobby was outraged. Under fire from the Fraternal Order of Police and right-wing senators threatening to cut National Public Radio's funding, NPR backed down the day before the commentaries were set to air. Here, in a speech on the Senate floor, former senator and presidential candidate Bob Dole takes credit for shutting down National Public Radio's effort to air Mumia's commentaries.
Yesterday, taxpayer-supported National Public Radio was scheduled to start running commentaries by a convicted killer on death row. The commentator was to be Mumia Abu-Jamal, convicted of the cold-blooded murder of Philadelphia police officer Daniel Faulkner in 1981. Taxpayer-subsidized NPR was to pay Abu-Jamal, the founder and former information minister of the Philadelphia chapter of the Black Panthers, $150 per commentary. National Public Radio argued that the Abu-Jamal commentaries would bring a, quote, unique perspective, end quote, to public radio's coverage of crime and punishment. That one-sided, quote, unique perspective argument offered little comfort to the law enforcement community, the victims of crime, or the American taxpayer pumping money into the public broadcasting system. Officer Michael Lutz, president of the Philadelphia Fraternal Order of Police, argued, and I quote, "I was under the impression he was supposed to be punished. This man is a cold-blooded killer whose appeals went to the highest court in the land, and he's getting a radio show out of the deal. It's not fair to the family of the slain officer." End of quote. I'm all for diversity on the airways, but those commentaries would have sent the wrong message at the wrong time. The last time I checked, we were trying to fight crime, not subsidize it or promote the fortunes of convicted murderers through taxpayer-supported public broadcasting. After the justifiable public uproar about NPR's unique commentaries plan, the taxpayer-subsidized radio network did the right thing and canceled the death row commentaries. In announcing the about-face, NPR managing editor Bruce Drake conceded, quote, "serious misgivings," end quote, about the appropriateness of commentaries admitting, quote, we had not arranged for other commentaries or coverage on the subject of crime, violence, and punishment that provided context or contrasting points of view, end of quote. It seems to me that Congress has a great deal of responsibility when it comes to taking taxpayers' money from the state of Kansas, state of West Virginia, or anywhere else, and even thinking about putting it into some program where somebody on death row, some convicted cop killer, would be profiting from his commentaries. I mean, I didn't believe it when I first read it, but I confirmed it. It was true, and I'm pleased that the program was canceled, but I think we need to be on the alert because those who probably thought up this idea would probably be thinking up some others that could be just as harmful and just as bad.
As of this recording, Mumia's 10 commentaries remain hidden from the public in the archives of the so-called National Public Radio. Since 1995, Mumia's access to the press has been curtailed in an effort to cut Mumia Abu-Jamal and his political message off from the people. The system hopes that doing so will break Mumia's spirit and prevent the growth of a huge mass movement to demand his freedom. In America, free speech is a myth, because free speech belongs only to those who own the press and have nothing to say. It is imperative that listeners work with us to oppose individual acts of censorship while also building a stronger movement. We need more funds to produce and mail literature to prisoners, and we need to get this program on more stations. The struggle for justice must not back down in the face of censorship.
This has been Under Lock and Key, a revolutionary anti-imperialist league program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts, 01004, or email railradio@mim.org.